is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. We're going to talk about Communities for Healthy Forests today. Javier Gualazari, Executive Director, and retired Douglas County Commissioner Doug Robertson will join us in the second segment. Javier, thanks for coming in.
Kyle, delighted to be in here with you. Thank you for inviting us in.
So first of all, for people that maybe aren't as familiar or newer to the area, give folks an overview of the organization and kind of the work you've been involved in for a number of years.
So Communities for Healthy Forests was started in the aftermath of the fires of 2002-2003 by local community leaders saw the need to tell the story about what was happening on all of these federal lands that were burning, and then the inability of the forest managers to actively go to work and restore the damage that had been caused in these fires in terms of removing some of the dead, dying trees, replant the forest, and to be able to ensure that there would be a forest for the future. And so the group came together and decided to, how do we tell the story? So, doing local forest tours and whatnot was somewhat effective, but realizing that the issue is not unique to the Umpqua National Forest or unique to the Roseburg BLM. It's a nationwide issue. These are federal lands that are governed by federal rules and federal policies. And so what we've been working on is informing the public, educating the public, working with different groups around the country, informing and educating on these forest policy issues.
So what led to deciding to work on this survey and kind of take the pulse of some of these Oregonians?
So it basically was partly was a follow-up. We did a survey like this back in 2005 to help tell us what did the people of Oregon think, what did they know about these federal forest lands, the rules, regulations, and what was happening out on the ground. And to follow that up now 15 years later, we decided maybe we need to look at doing this all over again. There's a greatly increased awareness today of the adverse impacts of the wildfire smoke on the health of the communities, our children, our most affected, the senior citizens. There's an increased awareness of these expanding wildfires. We had wildfires 15 years ago, but we seem to have more and more of these mega fires that impact people all across the state and far beyond Oregon, too. So we wanted to see what does the regular voter of Oregon think, whether they live in Portland or they live in Roseburg or they live in Wallowa County. What do they think about what's going on and what should be done about the issue?
So you mentioned the mega fires, and I was tracking on some of our national coverage and programming this morning about the situation in Northern California right now. I was struck by the fact that one report said they were having trouble finding fires because the smoke was so thick.
Unfortunately, that's one of the issues around these fires. When you have so many fires, putting up so much smoke, covering vast expanses of the land, if you look at a wildfire smoke pattern, the National Weather Service puts out every morning, I check this out every day, the smoke from Northern California is reaching all across into the Midwest. And so you can just imagine how dense that is in these forest lands, in these canyons and mountains. The airplanes can't fly to help the firefighters that are on the ground. They can't see where they're going. And these fires keep popping up because they spot from one area to the other. A lot of these spot fires will jump a mile or 2 miles because of the intense heat they put up.
And, a few years ago, we had some of the really aggressive fires in this area. We had the smoky situation that just went on for weeks, and it was the worst we'd, I think ever maybe seen it here. I just remember some of those times in Roseburg in our former studio looking across the street on West Harvard, realizing that I couldn't totally make out the building across the street. I mean, it was that bad. And regardless how they started, because a lot of times, I mean, you've got thunderstorms and other elements, human-caused elements sometimes that start them. But dealing with them in whatever way they start, you've got to look at the land that's there and also what you do with the land afterwards.
And that's a key point. So what we're seeing this year, in contrast to the 2018 fire season that you're describing, in contrast to this year, we've had a lot of fires, but they've been very small. And whether they've been started by people or vehicles on highways or whatnot, or they were lightning strikes like we saw within the last 10 days, 2 weeks up on the National Forest lands, the effort this year has been to put every fire out soon, as quickly as possible, rather than managing it, shall we say, and watching what it's going to see do. And in fact, that's one of the points that the survey revealed, that the vast majority of Oregonians want these fires put out now rather than allow them to linger and grow and threaten more forest land, threaten more communities, threaten more homes, and threaten the lives of the actual firefighters that we demand go out there and protect these lands.
We've been talking to Kyle Reed of Douglas Forest Protective Association about once every week here for the past few weeks, as these conditions have gotten warmer and warmer and drier. And I was noticing one of the fire situations didn't end up being that big of a fire, but I looked at all the resources that were put in, including two helicopters. And I said, is that like a little overkill? But he was explaining kind of what you just said, that there was a potential there. If you didn't really hit it very, very aggressively, it could take off.
That's exactly right. And that's a pattern that I've been observing, whether it's DFPA protected forest lands or even what the Forest Service is doing up on the national forest lands, that they are putting all these resources on. There's an interesting app called Flight Radar that you can see the actual aircraft that are in the air. And you can click on each individual aircraft, and we see lots of helicopters. We see lots of seats, small engine air tankers, but we see even large air tankers on these fires that are now 10, 50, some cases in eastern Oregon right now. There's some 200-300 acre wildfires going, and they're jumping on them. They're putting everything they can onto them so that they don't get completely out of hand. Unfortunately, California is a different situation because there's so many fires, and as you pointed out, they can't get to them, they can't see them, they're running rampant. And they're drawing resources away from us here, even right now. So hopefully we stay safe, we stay smart, and people don't do unnecessary things that cause fires to start, because we don't need that.
Talk about some of the results of this survey. What did you hear from Oregonians? You mentioned wanting fires to be fought more aggressively. What else?
One of the other interesting things that came out of this is that they want some clarity. They want to know what happens with these fires in terms of the expenses related to them. We hear a lot about how many millions of dollars are spent on putting out these wildfires in the suppression effort, but we don't hear about the cost of the loss of the resources, the value of the trees, the timber, the loss to the habitat, to the water quality that happens at in the aftermath. And we don't hear about the economic value that those losses represent and what that economic value might mean to the funding base for tax base of our local communities, the counties and our school systems. That was a very striking detail that came out of that Oregonians appreciate, and hopefully the politicians are listening to that.
And what about how actively the forests are managed, and even probably communicating, what does that even mean? Some people probably wouldn't quite know.
Yeah, the forest management issue is a big piece of this. Many of these fires, they burn tens of thousands of acres, some cases hundreds of thousands of acres. And what the survey revealed to us was that people want to see these forest lands actively managed to reduce the amount of dead wood that is left out there on the ground. Not to say we didn't specifically ask the question of how much or when or why, et cetera, but to reduce the fuel risk for the future, to recover some of the economic value of what's lying out there and get those lands replanted so that we have a forest for our future generations.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. In next segment, we're going to hear from retired County Commissioner Doug Robertson. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association on Mondays Inside Douglas County. Retired County Commissioner Doug Robertson, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle.
So talk about your involvement with Communities for Healthy Forests.
Kyle, my focus is generally on legislative issues, communicating, corresponding with elected officials on all levels about the issues that we're involved in related to post and pre-fire management on these federal lands. And of course, as you know, the mission of our organization is really education, educating the public. A great deal of focus is on school-age children. We have, since the inception of the group, sponsored tours, forestry tours, and tree planting with the school kids, working with FFA. Also, we played a major role in restarting the forestry program at UCC, which is a very important part of their science department and is growing and an important aspect in our county, as you know.
Now, as you communicate with folks, taking this survey, taking the information, how are you going to be able to present it? What kind of folks are you going to try to communicate it with?
Well, obviously, all elected officials on all levels appreciate having information, knowing the public's position on the various issues that Javier pointed out. So all the major media outlets in the state got a copy of the poll. It's on our Facebook, it's on our website. And again, elected officials, people in the agencies that are involved, again, on the state and federal level. So they all have a background and something recent. Again, as Javier pointed out, we did a fairly in-depth survey in 2005, but a lot has happened in 15 years. And so refreshing that information, adding some new dynamics to the poll, gave us a very good current snapshot on the feeling of Oregonians about fire on federal lands, more activity in terms of fire resiliency, reducing fuel loads, and then post-fire management. What happens after 40,000 acres of old-growth timber is burned up? There are varying ideas from the public of what happens, and generally what we found out is most people think that the agency, whether it's BLM or the Forest Service, takes the dead and dying material out of there and gets busy reforesting. And of course, that's not always the case. In fact, it's very seldom the case.
And, you know, with these forestry tours that have been done in the past, I've never been able to go on one, but just looking at pictures I've seen and talking to people that have done so, going out into an area where a fire took place, like the Glendale fire several years ago, of course, the fire goes wherever the fire goes, and it's usually on a conglomeration of land owned by various people. And the interesting thing that people have commented on is looking at that 2 or 3 years up the road, where you can see where you know, here's this federal agency has this, and here's Roseburg Forest Products land. Talk about some of the differences that you see there.
Well, it's stark. Obviously, the industrial forest land, many times while the fire is being suppressed and still smoking, you'll see activity getting those burned logs out of there, while the land adjacent, managed by the federal agencies, is doing very little, if anything, in that regard. And the other aspect of that, as it relates to the increasing the fire resiliency on these federal forest lands, are their neighbors. As you know, the checkerboard with BLM has interspersed ownerships, and of course, the private owners are very concerned about their neighbors not taking care of the fuel loads and doing the things, whether it's prescriptive burning and thinning and the various things to increase fire resiliency has become a concern. And that was reflected in the poll as well. Prescribed burns were very highly and heavily supported by the public, as well as thinning and increasing the efforts to make these areas that we know are fire prone. The Lightning Alley in Southern Oregon, which historically burns on a regular basis, needs attention, and the public certainly understood that and responded with a positive activity in terms of reducing the fire hazards to the extent possible.
I would think for some of the private landowners, this is almost like living in a subdivision and there's like one guy whose house is never kept up, and it impacts everybody.
That's true. One of the things I think is important, again, the mission of this organization is education, and certainly the poll gave us a snapshot into, again, what Oregonians are thinking. But as Javier pointed out, the issue of full transparency in terms of what really is lost in these fires, not just what it cost to fight the fire, but what was the value of the timber lost? And it's particularly important, obviously, to the counties and communities because they share in those receipts when timber is taken out. And all of the counties, particularly at a time that we're facing now with the COVID issue, the demand for resources is enormous. And so letting that timber rot and degenerate is something that the public is obviously concerned about.
And whatever people's plans are for the land they have, when these fires come along, suddenly your plan got altered. For whatever reason, I think back, and I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, not that long after the Cow Creek tribe had gotten some land in sort of a settlement situation with the federal government, they were developing plans about what they were going to do, and then a whole bunch of it caught fire.
That's right. They lost a significant amount of timberland, and again, reflected in the survey. As you pointed out, they lost a significant amount of what really was O&C land that was transferred to the tribe. But their ability to go in and manage it was stifled to a large degree because of the rules and regulations and restrictions and requirements of the federal government. And even the tribe lost about a year, maybe almost a year and a half, before they could get in and start managing that dead and dying landscape and get the what timber was still had value out of there. So the survey reflected, again, the public's interest in seeing those rules and regulations modified to the extent that projects that that aid in fire resiliency and post-fire management need to happen sooner. And that certainly, as I said, was reflected in the poll.
You talked about getting this information out to lawmakers, to public officials. Here we are in an election year, though, and I know you've talked over the many years that we've had interviews about how you form these relationships, you talk to people, and then somebody gets unelected, and then or a different administration comes in, and there's always a shift there.
Well, that's true. But in this instance, what we've seen is the enormous increase in the size and severity of these fires and the impact on communities really transcends whether people get elected one year or the next year. They're still in the chair, and they're the people that have to make these decisions. So while that is true in some instances as it relates to these fires, and most recently in the last two decades, people are becoming aware, whether they're elected officials or not, and the demand for the public to be more aggressive with post and pre-fire management is pretty clear.
What have you seen in the past couple of years? Do you feel there's been some shift at the federal level of how they view some of these issues?
Well, I think, again, as Javier pointed out, we had, I don't know, a dozen lightning strikes on the Umpqua. And you don't hear much about it because there was a great deal of emphasis put on getting those fires out while they were small. That was reflected in our poll, and that's been one of the bedrock principles of our organization, is don't let those fires get out of control. But if you have the ability to get on them quickly, do it. Get them out. And then emphasize the fire resiliency and using prescribed burn and the other methods to reduce the fuel loads on these fires or on these forests. So that's been an important part of the survey, and the findings were very clear.
All right, former County Commissioner Doug Robertson, Javier Guadalajara from Communities for Healthy Forests, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.